This is Party Line on WILO 1570 AM and 96.9 FM. At your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. If you're listening live at 8:30, you're invited to give us a call locally at 765-659-3338 or toll free at 1-800-447-4463. If you're listening to this program on our afternoon encore broadcast, don't call, just enjoy the show. Now let's join Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Good morning. Welcome to Party Line. Here we are on a Wednesday morning. I want to thank our sponsors. They are Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Encompass Credit Union, Milner Healthcare, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and Clinton County Daily News. com. I'm Kevin Keith. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's start off with the WILO Skywatch weather forecast. Winter weather advisory in effect from 1 a.m. tonight till 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Now, not 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, but 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Okay, this is a pretty lengthy weather forecast, so I'm going to read a little bit of it to you here. Now, sunshine today, cloudy, partly cloudy in the afternoon with a high 35, and cloudy tonight. Snow likely after midnight, little or no snow accumulation, a low 28. But we'll be waking up tomorrow morning with snow, possibly mixed with freezing rain until midday, then rain and freezing rain likely, possibly mixed with snow in the afternoon. Snow accumulation just around an inch, ice accumulation of less than one quarter of an inch, and a high 32, so freezing for the high tomorrow. Tomorrow night, still a chance of light freezing rain, maybe mixed with snow. Partly cloudy after midnight, low at 25. And that's all we pretty much need to know for the next day or two. Right now it's, 21 degrees here at WILO. And Ken Hartman, our WILO news director, has printed out a winter weather advisory, a little more detailed look at the low pressure moving through the Ohio Valley. So we are expecting mixed precipitation. As we said, total snow accumulations around an inch. Snow all across central Indiana. And again, that advisory takes effect 1 a.m. tonight until 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Plan on slippery road conditions tomorrow morning. Hazardous conditions could impact the morning or evening or evening commute. The winter weather advisory means periods of snow, sleet, or freezing rain will cause some travel difficulties. As we said, expect slippery roads, maybe some delays tomorrow morning for schools and stuff, and we'll let you know all that here with Ken Hartman and the morning show here on WILO. Well, I've got a live remote broadcast this Friday night. I'll be broadcasting between 5 and 7 from the Boys and Girls Club with Frankfort Unified Neighborhoods and Center Township Trustee Kevin Evans, and we'll be over there for the Sock Hop, and we want you to bring a non-perishable canned good if you can. Now, they'll be dancing between 6 and 8, but I'll be broadcasting between 5 and 7. So come over and see us. That's Friday night at the Boys and Girls Club. And dress in appropriate attire, too, because we're going to have some pictures being taken there, and you can take some of those home with you or download them off Facebook. So that's Friday night. Then Saturday morning, we encourage you to wake up bright and early, get your coffee, and have your cell phones ready to dial. We've got the bid for bargains coming up, radio auction on Saturday morning. We'll start that around 9:05 right here on WILO. We've got a ton of new sponsors this time. A lot of those from the Kokomo area will be promoting this as well on our sister station just down the hall from me here, Shine 99. Several new ones from Frankfort as well. I'm not going to go over the entire list. I did yesterday, but we'll hit some of those a little bit later on in the show. Joining me in the studio this morning is Aaron Congleton. Aaron is here to talk to us about the community Thanksgiving dinner. Aaron, this is such a good feel-good event, man, and I know that you've had a part in this, and you and other people for several years now. And you were telling me off the air that it's so encouraging that you're pretty good on food this year, right? Don't need a whole lot of donations at this time.
Yeah, we're doing good on food so far.
Pull that mic just a hair closer to you there.
Okay.
So this is the community Thanksgiving dinner. Most people familiar with it. It's pretty hot and heavy for a couple hours, right? It's 11 to 1.
Right.
And it's going to be at the Frankfort Neighborhood Center. So is this for people who just need a Thanksgiving meal, they can just come over in the community and sit down and
absolutely
and fellowship and all that?
Absolutely. And we do the home deliveries, I mean, so people don't have to get out if the weather's bad or if they just want to have the meals brought to them and have them with their family at home
mm-hmm.
and just having a rough year. But, yeah, the main part of it is they can come in, we can fellowship with them. Everybody can fellowship, and nobody has to be alone on Thanksgiving.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, home delivery, you said that's, you said you usually have, what, about 200 people or so show up at the neighborhood center, but then how many home deliveries
usually, on average? Usually we're around 400 to 500 home
wow.
deliveries. We usually do a total of 700 to 800 every year.
Okay.
Total.
That's a lot of food in Clinton County.
It is. It's a lot of food. Usually we start about 6 a.m. getting everything ready.
Okay, good deal. So you can do home delivery if you didn't want to get out, as they said. So you could do, if you had a family of four, you guys would deliver four, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. However many you need, we'll deliver them.
So I'm guessing you would still take contributions, right? Because we're always working toward next year.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's our biggest thing right now. I mean, we're good on food. We're good on pies. We need 10 to 15 volunteers that can help from noon until 2. They'll help serve and then help us tear down after everything's done. And then, yes, I mean, monetary donations, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Those, if we don't need them this year, they'll carry on till next year's.
All right. Very good. So if you want to donate or make a contribution monetarily, you can make a check out to Community Thanksgiving Dinner, Farmers Bank at 9 East Clinton Street. Or you can just call somebody, right? Keona Stidham would love to hear from you,
absolutely.
Wouldn't she?
Absolutely.
Her phone number is 765-242-7065. Now, we may give out a few phone numbers here, Aaron, but I want to just say here that if people get mixed up with phone numbers or something, they can call me today, okay? So
okay.
If they want to volunteer or something, you can call me here at the station at 659-3338. Just ask for Kevin. I'll be here till about 5 o'clock this afternoon. So I'd like to help out if we can and get you guys some volunteers. Now, the Frankfort Neighborhood Center is at 259 South 3rd Street in Frankfort. If we show up that day, what kind of meal are we looking at, Aaron?
We're having ham, turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, corn, green beans.
All the fixings,
rolls,
huh? All right.
Any kind of pie you
and
can
and then
imagine.
Pie, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. There will be
dessert.
A lot of pie.
Good deal. So that is all the fixings. Could you talk a little bit about the volunteers that help you every year? I know you probably see a lot of the same faces, but it's nice to see some new faces too, isn't it?
Oh, sure. We have usually 100 volunteers that help every year.
Wow.
Yeah, there's usually a bunch.
Good for us.
It's amazing the support that Clinton County gives to this. Every year we don't ever have to worry about volunteers because so many people will call us and have helped for years, even years prior to me being involved with it.
Never an issue, really,
yeah.
Huh?
I mean, I have people that have done it for 20 years.
Right.
Them
wow.
and their family, and that's just what they do. They like to help till noon, then they'll go home and have their own Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people on a actual Thanksgiving day, they're off work, and
right.
they're taking time out of their time and stuff, off their day off, you
absolutely.
Know, to come in and help out. But like you said, it's pretty fast and furious, and then it's over, and you can go home and still have time with your family.
Right,
so.
Right.
So that's good. So if you're interested in home delivery, is it best to call Jim Day that day or right now so you can go ahead and get it scheduled?
It'd be best to call him
okay.
prior because he puts everything in his computer, and that way everything the day of is
nice.
Good it works deal. Pretty smooth.
So home delivery, Jim Day is the fella to call. It's 765 area code 242-4842 if you're looking for home delivery. For the community Thanksgiving dinner on November 22nd, 11 to 1. That's going to be at the Frankfort Neighborhood Center, 259 South 3rd Street in Frankfort. I don't want to put you on the spot. Do you know how many years we've done this? You've mentioned at least 20.
I know that it's roughly 28 years, I believe,
wow.
this year.
Okay, good deal. So So through the year, do you guys have people making contributions? You don't always think about it over the summer, right?
Right.
You know, but I mean, do you guys get checks coming in all year and maybe some cash donations?
We do. I mean, we don't get a lot of them through the year. Usually they start about September.
Okay.
We'll have people that'll just go to the bank, because that's the way we prefer it, is people just go to the bank and you can make your donation.
Write a check,
then
deposit it right there.
Right.
And, yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't like it to be known who did it. Mm-hmm. So they'll go make a cash deposit there at the bank, and that's fine.
Okay.
But, yeah, usually it starts about September's when things start ramping up. And
what about when you guys start getting the food donations? Is that around the same time?
You know, usually we don't get a lot of food donations. People will call and ask. And just because we buy so much bulk, mm-hmm. usually, like, IGA has helped us a ton mm-hmm. the last 5 years.
Schultz here locally?
Yes, sir. Yeah. They've done great with us. And it just makes it nice where you can go and buy a certain food. Mm-hmm. That way everything cooks the same and
right,
everything
right, right.
tastes the same. So we encourage people that if they're wanting to go and if they want to help with the food, just either they can go to and deposit there at the bank and say that's what they want it for.
Oh, okay.
And then we can just go straight to IGA. And
okay.
They prepare all the meat for us every year, which that's been very nice.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, they do a lot.
Okay. That's what, Eric Woods and crew, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right. We sure appreciate that. So we're talking with Aaron Congleton this morning. Aaron, I'm going to give out your cell phone number since you're kind of helping spearhead this.
Okay.
It's 765-650-6926. Again, if you'd like to donate some money, you can do that with Keona Stidham at 765-242-7065. And if you'd like to make a contribution, just make a check to Community Thanksgiving Dinner at the Farmers Bank. That's at 9 East Clinton Street in Frankfort. So, again, you're looking for some, you could still use 10 or 15 volunteers, right?
Yes, and if people are wanting to volunteer, the person that they should contact, her name is Chris Leslie.
Okay.
And she's at 765-654-6563, which that's her answering machine. Basically, if you can leave a message and tell how many, what times you're available, and a good contact number for you, then she will get back in touch with you, usually within that day.
Okay, very good. So it is the Community Thanksgiving Dinner on Thanksgiving, 11 to 1. You can show up at the Frankfort Neighborhood Center. If you need a Thanksgiving dinner for the family, Frankfort Neighborhood Center at 259 South 3rd Street in Frankfort. Did I miss anything, Aaron?
Basically, that's everything. The only thing to add to it is the deliveries. We usually start those about 9 a.m.
Okay.
We'll deliver from 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. Then that gives us from 10 to 11 to get everything ready for the people coming in.
Okay.
So
really, there's I thought you had mentioned something about a volunteer needed till around 2 or something, maybe a little cleanup.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. It'll basically be you'll help serve for the last hour and then help clean up for an hour.
And then, like you said, you're out of there at 2, so you can
usually
still get home.
Usually we're done at 2.
Okay, very good. Get home and work on those pre-Black Friday sales then, right, online.
That's right.
Well, Aaron, thank you for coming in this morning. And,
yes, sir.
And again, if anybody missed these phone numbers or would like more information, you can call any of those numbers we gave out or give myself a call here at YLO, and I will help you with that and point you in the right direction. Can I have that copy
Absolutely.
Then?
Absolutely.
All right. Aaron, thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good to see you. That's Aaron Congleton again. It is on Thanksgiving Day at the Frankfort Neighborhood Center at 259 South 3rd Street, right here in Frankfort. This is YLO's Party Line. Thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
YLO's Party Line here on a Wednesday morning. We've got a full show for you. YLO News Director Ken Hartman's going to join me in just a moment. Coming up at 9 o'clock, I'm going to talk with this guy. His name is Carl Sukman, and this is an interesting topic for our national guest this morning. The media is not the enemy of the people. Polls show an alarming number of people only listen to what they want to hear and only what aligns with their own biases. Most disturbing is an overwhelming number of Americans believe that journalists fabricate the news. I don't know. Me and this guy might go round and round because we talk about it sometimes on Party Line, the bias of the media, and where can you find just the facts, right? Where can you find just the facts? Because I've said before that, although I lean to the right, I've watched some Fox. I don't have cable right now, so I can't watch anything. I have to get everything online, but I'd always flip over to MSNBC or CNN and see what they're talking about, but they're just as biased as Fox, So I'm interested to see what direction this conversation will take. And we'll even be talking a little bit about local news and how some of that can be misconstrued or alternative facts or fake news or whatever you'd like to call it. So we'll be talking with Carl, I believe is his name, Carl Sukeman, coming up here at 9 o'clock. As I've got WILO News Director Ken Hartman joining me for the next 10 minutes or so. Good morning, sir.
Is it morning, evening, or yesterday?
I know you were late at a city council meeting last night.
Yes, it was a long night last night.
And then you go home, you try to unwind, and boom, all of a sudden the alarm clock goes off, and you got to get in here and do a morning show.
Yeah, I got 4.5 hours sleep last night.
4.5. Well, I would say go home and take you a midday siesta, but you got a few things going on this morning, too. Right?
Yeah, I got more than a few things going on today and trying to get caught up from yesterday, but plus I got two meetings today, and then I've got three tomorrow now, and then I've got stuff for the rest of the week. So,
before we talk, I want to mention something here that our very own Karen Butcher texted to me a few moments ago. Mayor's proclamation tomorrow morning at Old Stoney at 301 East Clinton Street. That's for the Zonta Club of Frankfort. Now, we're inviting everybody who can get out tomorrow morning to wear their orange and be at Old Stoney at 10 a.m. for their proclamation from Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. The proclamation will be for the 16 days of advocacy. So wear your orange in support and join everybody down there. Zonta, best known for empowering women through service and advocacy. So we know that's a really good organization.
And wear your anti-slick shoes.
It might be a bit dicey out there.
It could be by that time tomorrow morning.
So that's what we had mentioned on the Skywatch weather forecast a few moments ago. And I don't know, man. It might be interesting in the morning.
Yeah, I get to look forward to our first probably school delays and closings of the year tomorrow morning. That's another reason why I get here, So.
Yeah, well, we appreciate all your efforts. So last night at City Council, what went on, Ken?
Well, a little bit of everything. They first approved the third and final rig of the ordinance for IU Health, so that's a done deal now.
Very good. Good.
That's a done deal.
So. All right.
They got their not-for-profit funding taken care of last night. We'll get into that a little later.
Okay.
The big item, though, was the Prairie Creek Park situation. They decided not to do any voting. This strictly was an informational item and just no vote was going to be taken. So that was all information last night. It was all new information for most of it last night. So... of course, the biggest problem is that the project has went a little high. I'm being nice when I say a little high.
I know. We originally started out at a little over $4 million, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to see. I've got my original notes here. Originally it was $3.9 million, but then after the then they had the bonds to not to exceed $4.5 million.
Right.
So. But now, even though there were some figures a little higher than this last night, I asked the mayor afterwards, and the exact figure right now of what this thing costs is $7,956,885.96. Now, to consider, there's been several changes made to that, though.
Okay.
Number one, and this was one of the first things, is that the parking garage was not part of the original project.
Uh-huh.
So you got to add between $600,000 and $700,000 in just to get that thing fixed and get it to where it's usable on both levels again. It's usable on one level now. It's not usable on another level right now.
Right, right.
So that's part of that issue as well. The other thing that's gone is happened with this, is the fact that steel tariffs, which you don't think is going to affect us here, is affecting us here. And plus the fact of the very strong economy, which we want as a country, but that's also affecting things. So you combine those two things together. Steel tariffs are up 30%, and they're going to go higher from what they were a year ago. So you do that, you get the strong economy, which means they're going to be the contractors are going to get real choosy on where they can go work and what they want to work. And if you want them, they're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like it or not, I mean, we don't think about the disasters from the hurricanes down south and all over the country, but that is playing into this as well.
Let me ask you about the parking garage.
Okay.
There is, I know, I drive past it too, like everybody else, and I see vehicles up there, but it looks like it only holds maybe 20 cars or so. Could they not just tear that down and save $700,000?
Well, it's going to be part of a little bit of everything. It's going to become it's going to be top and bottom. It's going to be access top and bottom. You're going to be able to access the park from there.
Mm-hmm.
They're also going to be able to kind of turn that into it. I think a part of that's going to be another wall back there to help give that stage effect back in there.
Right, right.
That's what that's going to be back there. But they want to get that bottom part back on. That's the bad part of that is the bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
The top part's okay for almost intents and purposes. But here again, if more businesses keep coming downtown and more people keep coming downtown, where are you going to put them if you don't have the garage?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I would have thought that maybe they would put a real parking garage in, with four or five levels or something looking to grow.
I would say that would be a bigger waste of money than what we just talked about.
Okay.
Because I just don't see any way.
A five-tier garage downtown.
I just don't see that in a town this size. I don't know if Lafayette even has a parking garage like that over there.
I think they've got a couple, but they're in the strategic places.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I remember when I was in Columbus, Indiana, they built a nice parking garage downtown. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're a little larger community, and they were growing and always are. Uh-huh. So we're at 7. What million?
7.956. Now, the other thing that I've got the mayor on audio for this, which I have not got a chance to go through. I just know it when I heard it last night. If you do not live in the historic district downtown, and if you're not part of the industrial park, so if you live any other parts of the town, your taxes will not be affected by this. Just the people who live in the historic district downtown and the industrial park. Those are the ones who are going to get taxed for this.
Okay.
And the other thing of it is that they asked the people who were from Reedy Financial and a couple other places, is this a good deal for what they've got straight? And they all agreed, yes, because the way the bonds are being paid back and the way they got the rates going, they're going to be making money down the line for the Redevelopment Commission to do this. So from there, I'm just saying the city is being told by their financial people they have hired to do this, who should know what the heck they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They're being told that what they're doing is a good, solid project, and it will be very financially rewarding for them down the line.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're being told.
Right. And
because I heard that last night.
I would expect them to say that, though.
True.
We've hired them, so they're going to tell us what we want to hear, maybe.
But also, I've seen, they gave a presentation where they actually had, the pages of what they've taught, the information on the pages. So I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see what it says, you have to go with their word. And as I said, you're right, they should know.
Right.
But, so you have to go on that if you want to try and build this. I know there was a comment made last night by one of the councilmen was asking, well, why can't we just go back to the original 4.5 and make this? And then they said, no, there's no way, because you take away the main amenities. The main amenities of this park is going to be the splash pad and its steel bridge going across the creek.
Mm-hmm.
You take those two things out of there, and that's basically where this project has gone out of the cost has gone out of the roof.
Right. So, I understand that. It just seems, I don't know, doubling this amount for a splash pad and a bridge.
Well, you know,
seems a bit much. Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to lie.
I wasn't there.
But, you know, the thing is, the city is trying to come up with something that is an amenity that nobody else in this area has.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to lure some people, you know, into the community. And also the fact was last night, and this came from, I believe Joe Palmer said this last night, that Nickel Plate Flats, in their first 50 to 60% of the people who rented in Nickel Plate, there was only 4 from Clinton County. So it's all out-of-town people.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to attract.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
And it's now the percentage of people in Nickel Plates is now up to about 70%.
Okay.
So if you start factoring that in, and plus, you know, if you can get people to come from outside the area into this area, that's what they're trying to do. And I think, you know, this town has been, I hate to say dormant, but for certain places it has been dormant.
Absolutely, right.
For a long period of time. And I am for anything right now. I'm going to put the provisos right now on there that can get this town moving forward. And that's one reason why I've stayed here as long as I have, and I want to continue to support it as I have,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's something we need. I know people don't want to have change. They're scared to death of change. I want my little town. I don't want to have to lock my doors. I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to do that. Well, I hate to tell you people, it's 2018, soon to be 2019 in about less than 60 days.
Well, I want to go on the record saying I'm a fan of Mayor Chris, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know if I'm behind this or not.
I just,
right now, I just, they close went, to $8 million,
they,
man.
They went through some value engineering, and the savings that they came up with they had all the project that was the original bid, the lowest bid they had was $6.5 million.
Right. I remember that.
Okay. Now, you add the 13 alternate bids that were on top of this, and then it went to 7.844.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started trying to do some value engineering, and they only saved a little over $313,000.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, it's just amazing the steel tariffs affecting us like that.
Yeah,
we don't think about the trickle-down effect.
I know. And we can, you know, and also the fact that the economy is very strong. I mean, Trump can. I mean, we're happy we're doing what we're doing. Okay,
right.
You
got to
give him credit for that. But
sure.
At the same time, it's killing us.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, it's like, okay. Now, what do you want?
Dag nabbit, we can't win for losing, can we?
I know, and that's the bad part about this.
Maybe we wait till Trump does the deal, the art of the deal, to get these steel tariffs taken care of, and then be able to build Perry Creek Park for $3.2 million.
Let's put it this way. To me, the art of the deal is if Donald Trump stays off Twitter.
Yeah, that'd be a good start. Ken, I got to do this national guest,
okay. And
maybe we can squeeze in a few more minutes to talk about this here at the end of the show.
Okay, all right.
Thanks again, as
no
always.
Problem.
Back with more Party Line next here on WILO.
This is Party Line, on the air for over 60 years on WILO, Frankfort, Indiana, USA, a Casper Media station.